Hello and welcome to the Geek and Review Podcast. I'm Jeremy Pappas, alongside, as always, a man who's always in the mood for a marmalade sandwich, Mr. Russell Jones. Russell.
Hail. Yes, I am also possibly quite tipsy at this point.
Oh, we all are. How you doing, my friend?
Good, good. Had a pretty, well, I'll say pretty, I had a really good weekend. Nothing but D&D and video games and movies and, you know.
Same here.
Yep.
Same right here in my chair. Now, sometimes on the podcast, it's difficult to come up with what we're going to talk about. Sometimes there's a lot of stuff going on and we want to talk about all of it, or there's just not a whole lot going on and we're kind of scrambling to find things that we can talk about today.
Today's
not one of those days.
Not one of those days at all.
Today we have two topics on the podcast. You can likely guess what both of them are. One is going to be the release of The World's End, which came out. It completes the so-called Blood and Ice Cream trilogy, which is actually not a trilogy. It's just three movies made by the same folks.
Also the Cornetto trilogy.
Correct. Also, there's a little Batman news happening in the background that I'm sure none of you heard anything about.
Yeah. It was hard to miss this.
It didn't make a whole lot of news, but if you were paying attention to any device that could contain information, including I think it's now in the Dead Sea Scrolls, somebody dug it out of papyrus buried under in French caves with caveman drawings. I'm of course talking about Batfleck, which is what all the cool kids call it now. Ben Affleck playing the Batman in the upcoming Henry Cavill Superman versus Batman movie. Also slightly minor add-on to that is they also named Lex Luthor as well, which people didn't notice. But Bryan Cranston's going to be Lex Luthor, which on any other day would make the collective internets jump for joy. But the day after we get Batfleck, people had a tendency to completely overlook that. So we will talk about both of those things.
Kind of brought it from the, you know, they're at the door with torches and pitchforks to a kind of simmery boil.
Yeah, well, I think they're still at the door with torches and pitchforks. It's just they're kind of muttering to each other going, you know, that Bryan Cranston, he's pretty good on that that meth show. I bet he'll make a pretty good Lex Luthor.
You know, I can go for a little bit of meth right now.
Yeah, I can go for a little bit of meth right now with my torch. We could cook it under the torch even, I bet.
Meth it up a little bit.
But we're going to start with The World's End. Now, you have undoubtedly heard of this movie. It is the, as I said, the completion of the trilogy, which is actually not a trilogy. Again, these are not intended to be a trilogy.
Exactly. It wasn't really intended to be a trilogy. It just kind of sort of wound up that way due to, as is usual on the internet, you know, just happenstance and an offhanded comment in an interview, and thus it became canon.
Right. It is the latest movie by Simon Pegg with his friends Edgar Wright and Nick Frost and all of the other great people that are in these movies, which if you haven't seen any of them, you have a lot of really great movies to watch. The first one was Shaun of the Dead. Shaun of the Dead came out... When did Shaun of the Dead come out? Long time ago.
Yeah, a little decent ago.
Long time ago. Shaun of the Dead came out in 2004, which is about 9 years ago. Wow. Then Hot Fuzz came out in 2007, and now, 6 years later, we are getting The World's End. Now, if you're not really familiar with the movie, I'll give you a really quick step down of what it is. Basically, friends reunite for to complete the Golden Mile, to drink a pint at every one of the 12 pubs in their small English hometown. And as things tend to do in these movies, things go awry. Now, they don't go awry in like a terrible way, like sometimes movies things go awry, but they go awry in kind of a from dusk till dawn way is probably the best way I think to put it. So we both saw the film because we're both huge fans. Particularly, we don't agree on everything. I would say we don't fully agree on really anything, very few things, except for one thing.
Yeah,
that of the three the superior film is Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, I think that that's I think that's pretty much a solid fact.
The series, and I've got a little theory that I want to throw out there a little bit later. But for us, the superior film is Hot Fuzz. There's so much about that movie that I could just watch all day, and never regret watching it. The hundreds of times I've seen it. I've actually only seen Shaun of the Dead maybe 3 or 4 times. I've seen Hot Fuzz no less than 40 times. And have seen The World's End now the one time. So we both went out and saw it on Saturday. Russ, did you do your normal day of during the day with the old folks?
Yeah, pretty much. And it was glorious. There were literally 10 people in the theater, and my group made up 4 of them.
Nice.
There was like one guy randomly off to himself in the front who laughed at everything and laughed loudly. So there were some times where we were the only 2 people laughing at stuff, which was awesome. So loud laugher guy, high five.
High five from across the theater. Five. Don't sit next to me, but laugh.
You were awesome. You were important. You helped fill the space. And then there were like, you know, some scattered people here and there. But it was, you know, we saw it with 2 other people from the theater department over at LSU, and it was it was good. It was great. It was fun. It was not my favorite, as has been said, but that does not mean that it should be disparaged upon as a bad film, which I think is going to be potentially the overall reaction, except we have other things to kind of react on.
I'm doing pretty well, actually. I'm looking on IMDb. I happen to have all 3 films pulled up. Right now, it is at a 7.8. Now, that is the lowest of the 3, but consider Shaun of the Dead or Hot Fuzz, which is the next, is a 7.9, and Shaun of the Dead is an 8.0.
See, so I've heard a lot of people preferred Shaun of the Dead over the Hot Fuzz, which I don't get. I don't think that that's a bad decision at all. Shaun of the Dead is a fantastic, fantastic film.
It is.
The World's End is a good film. Mm-hmm. I personally felt it's a bit slow at the beginning and could be a little bit slow at the end. And there were a couple of things that were just they felt a little forced, but there were some absolutely well-crafted moments in there.
Absolutely.
And a whole lot more budget to it, I think, than some of the other previous movies.
They definitely didn't skimp on two things I really liked that they did. They didn't skimp on the effects, but at the same time, they didn't try to go too far with the effects to a point where it was really off-putting.
Yeah.
Right now on Rotten Tomatoes, The World's End is sitting comfortably at a 90%. So the movie's doing well, which is good. Now, here's my theory that I was discussing with Russell earlier today. Think about it this way. Hot Fuzz is my favorite. I enjoy Shaun of the Dead. I probably like The World's End a little more than Shaun of the Dead. Here's what I put forward to you. Shaun of the Dead is, however you want to look at it, 9 years ago, was intended for an audience that is a step younger than Russell and myself. We're talking your 23 to 26 year olds. Russell and I are right around 30. I'm actually not quite 30 for about another year. Russell is currently 30. So you've got Shaun of the Dead is right around that and it picks up all the teenagers and everything too. Teenager to probably 24, 25, 26 even. This is just my hypothesis. Hot Fuzz picks up about 27, 28, goes all the way through our ages. And the reasons are obvious. Shaun of the Dead is a lot more, I hate to say slapstick, but it's a little more slapstick.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
a little more obvious as far as the comedy is concerned. You got red on you, destroying zombies. The zombies play video games at the end, blah, blah, blah. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Shaun of the Dead, just go fucking watch the movie. It's great. Even if you don't like zombie movies. That's what people tell me. I haven't seen Shaun of the Dead because I don't like zombie movies. Go watch Shaun of the Dead. Shut up. So Hot Fuzz kind of fits into where we are, our demographic. I put forward that The World's End might be the preferred movie of people that are a step older than us, because we're not quite at the age of the characters in The World's End. They're about 10 years older than we are. We aren't quite to that point where we have to start trying to relive what we had done at the end of, you know, because we still occasionally do, we go out and drink and blah, blah, blah. We have much fewer responsibilities, mostly, and things like that. So that's my hypothesis, is if you're a little older than we are, 33, 35 to 40 and above, you're going to really like The World's End, because it's a lot more that you can sort of relate to. We can relate to Hot Fuzz, sort of the dry, the conservative policeman action movie thing. It's got a lot more really subtle humor. I think specifically of a scene that I know we both love, which is the cake scene, where he's sitting there and he's offering him the cake, and the cake yes. sits there, and then he just wiggles the plate a little bit. I fucking lose it every time. Russell's losing it right now just thinking about it, and all he's doing is wiggling a cake a plate.
My actual favorite, that's good. And the one where, like, hold it right next to the side of his face.
Right.
But my actual favorite that I, every time, is when they're in the store and they're assaulting the store and the guys are stuck, the you know, behind the butcher's spot.
Uh-huh.
And Nick slides in. I'm sorry, because his name was Nick Angel. Sergeant Angel slides in, Simon Pegg does, and he's just gotten from beating the big guy.
Mm-hmm.
And if Ross says, did you say something smart, like, you know, cool out or something? He's like, no, I didn't. And he's like, shame. He says, although earlier when you didn't see it, I did hit him over the head with the, I threw the chunky monkey at him, hit him over the head with the flower pot. And I said, playtime's over. And he said, you're off the fucking chain.
Which I love.
Just that
great moment.
That moment. Die every time.
Excellent moment. Shaun of the Dead, a little more in your face, a little younger, a little more obvious, a little more bombastic than Hot Fuzz. Now, that's my hypothesis. I would like you to break my hypothesis down, if you would like, to hit us up on Twitter or Facebook at GIR Podcast. Let me know what you think, especially, here's the control group I don't have. Someone who's a little older, mid-30s to 40, who is a fan of these movies. Most of my friends are not quite that old, except Russell. He's getting there.
watching it. Watch it.
I would like to know if that is the case. If you saw The World's End, if you prefer it to the others. Maybe you don't. Maybe you like Shaun of the Dead and I'm a Jackass. But that's what I feel like as far as the whole audience is concerned.
Now, the thing about, and I completely agree with your theory, because the thing that struck me first off was the way that the film was being set up. And the way that it was going about it, I couldn't help but think, you know, there's the subset that absolutely adores, you know, the John Waters style of movies, the 80s movies,
right.
You know, and the kind of throwbacks to
the
that.
The Breakfast
and when you
Club
have,
sort
exactly,
of, yes.
When you have those kinds of movies, there are specific tropes and there are specific setups and, you know, ways to play out. And you're like, oh, if you did not enjoy these movies, you may not necessarily get that. I don't know why, but I have this feeling that if I was someone in the UK growing up who was looking for that nostalgic movie style, there were a whole lot of little subtle things that I likely missed in the way the setup occurred that maybe someone growing up from a different perspective than me, but the same perspective as, say, Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg and the cross of them, maybe they had, you know, they had that perspective, and to them it hits them on a different level. So when I say the beginning felt a little slow to get started, first they had five characters they had to get through.
Mm-hmm.
Second,
which they did a fantastic job of doing.
Yes, they
did. It's so difficult to characterize five different fucking people, and they did a really good job. By the end of it, you had each individual character, you knew what you needed to know about them. They were playing radically different characters than they had played in previous movies.
Did you see that they actually got the bike messenger, the rave kid from Spaced?
No, I'm
he was in...
not familiar with Spaced.
Oh!
I know, Sail. I know, I know. It's even on Netflix, and I have Netflix, and I haven't watched it. I know.
So you, could go out, so you should go out and watch that. Find that one in particular episode, the rave episode.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other jokes that are happening in there may not necessarily make sense because, you know, it's a series that deserves to be watched in its entirety. But still, the guy, the actor that was in it, they put him in World's End. Great addition. Anyway, But yeah, the parts that felt slow to me, again, they did a great job introducing the characters, but it just felt like there was a whole lot of Simon Pegg dialogue and voice, not dialogue, monologue and voiceover.
Oh yeah,
like the whole
there
description
was.
Of the mile and the description on top of the recollection of, you know, what this summer was like and then describing where everyone was. It just, there was a whole lot of Simon Pegg telling us stuff as it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I was willing to go with it. I was just worried that not a lot of audience would, and that's kind of what led me to believe the whole, you know, maybe if I had a different frame of reference, this would be partly referencing the way that certain films that they maybe had grown up with would
right.
have.
Because during the Breakfast Club era, Breakfast Club era, we were six.
Yeah.
So that's not necessarily movies that we really glom onto, because again,
it's like the closest I could get to that is Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yes, and that definitely breaks the mold of those Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, Sweet 16, or 16 Candles sort of movies, which, to be perfectly honest with you, I only know them just because I know them because I like movies. I have seen them, but they're not anything that really stands out to me. So
Ferris Bueller's.
Right, Ferris Bueller's is a little different.
Strikes a chord.
I enjoy Ferris Bueller's because it's more of an everyman sort of story. It's less yada yada yada. I don't want to talk about why I like Ferris Bueller, because I want to talk about The World's End. Now, there were things in The World's End that I really loved. There was a lot of beer humor.
Yes.
And by beer humor, I mean humor about beer.
The first two pubs. They go in the first one and they're bitching about how it's the Starbucks
pubs.
And then they go into the second
and it's the exact same pub. Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. We're going to see this through to the bitter end or the lager end. I was the only person in the theater that laughed. And I'm like, I'm clearly the only beer snob here, because like that was hilarious.
But see, some of those jokes felt like they got played a lot in the trailers.
Yeah, they definitely did. I really liked a lot of the back and forth. I liked the writing. I thought it was very funny.
Yeah.
Not my favorite. It does not usurp Hot Fuzz as my favorite of the three, but it is a fantastically good movie. It deserves the accolades. Simon Pegg is awesome. He's just like a perpetual machine of awesome. Everything he does is good. Even in the fucking terrible Star Trek movies, he's still good.
He was worth going to see the Star Trek movies to see him. And the funny thing, I remember, because Macy kept bringing this up, he did an interview after, I think, Shaun of the Dead went really big. And he had said, someone asked him, now you're going to go all Hollywood and you're not going to remember the little guy and all the other little things. Like, no, man. I mean, it's not like tomorrow I'm going, except, you know, British, which I'm not going to do because I'm slightly tipsy.
Thanks.
But he said, you know, I'm not going to like turn around tomorrow and do Mission Impossible 3.
And then
he was in Mission Impossible 3.
But he
Which did, wasn't even a thing that was out there whenever he said that.
But he did the good mission. He even did the good Mission Impossible movie.
Exactly. And then
I've
he
seen
did,
that movie, and it was a good movie.
Well, let's just say he was in Mission Impossible 3, and then he was also in Ghost Protocol.
Yeah, Ghost Protocol is the one that I've seen.
Yeah.
Ghost Protocol is awesome.
And it's apparently he was also the only watchable thing for Mission Impossible 3 as well.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
That genuinely doesn't surprise me. He was pretty much the only watchable thing in the second Star Trek movie.
And that's what makes this
except that chick in her underwear. She was watchable, but in a completely different way.
A completely different
way. And for like 10 seconds, and really kind of creepily afterward when you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, the next point, though, because Simon Pegg, you know, you're like, oh, I watched a movie entirely for Simon Pegg. I watched this movie, World's End, to a point. I don't necessarily like Simon Pegg. I think he did a great job, but I think that was the point. You're supposed to look at the character, Gary King, and at some point you're supposed to ask yourself, why are they doing this? Why are they following through with what he says? This guy is supposed to be, you know, the guy that's kind of taking the fight to these robots. Really? Really? And then there's this whole – okay, to geek out again on another small point of the plot, the bit where they're in – discussing whether or not to call the actual things in the town robots, and how robot means a certain thing, and how maybe it's not.
Do you know what robot means? It actually
exactly this whole thing. And yes, it becomes part of the overall story. And I just have the feeling that at some point when they were doing early drafts of this script, the writers were sitting around and they were discussing things. There's like, well, you know, the robots. It's like, we really shouldn't call them robots because that's not what we're making here. Well, why not? Well, a robot is blah, blah, blah. And it was a point of, you know, maybe.
Right. That was something that had probably happened in the writer's room.
Exactly.
And they were trying to call them whatever they wanted to call them.
And they kept it and they put it in the script.
Totally agree.
I have a feeling that that happened and that they rewrote the argument so that they could have it in the bar.
I feel exactly the same way. And I like that they called them the empties. I really
Blank for empties. I mean, empties, it. Yeah. At empties, I was like, although empties still in still because this is the weird thing. And again, actually something that I wound up liking about the film. And this is very spoilery.
So, yeah. Well, from here on out, we've been sort of holding our tongue on the spoilers. From here on out, it's going to be spoilery. We're going to give away the end of the movie. If you haven't seen it, turn the podcast off. Skip ahead by like 10-15 minutes. And if we're talking about Ben Affleck, then go back a little bit and you've gone far enough.
Right. So the empties, they get referred to at the beginning, you know, oh, you don't want to know about the empties. And then, you know, you find out, well, they start calling these things blanks. When you find out that the original people, because they apparently like digitize you or they subsume your personality or whatever, and they implant it in these robots.
Right. They basically grow you again.
Oh yeah.
And they mulch you. They don't cremate you. They mulch you.
They mulch you. Right. But that's just it. They get rid of you and they mulch you and they, you know, recycle and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
On the one hand, saying that they're empties and saying, well, you don't know what happens to the empties. I mean, I kind of expected there to be something left around to look at and be like, oh, it's like an empty shell, and they'll find a way to refill it, and, you know, we'll get to the kind of the happy ending.
Right,
no,
right,
they didn't. They kept the lethality.
Yeah.
Follow through with, nope, they get mulched. It's like, oh, my God, they're dead.
Yeah.
They're actually, honest God, Martin Freeman's dead. They killed Bilbo.
Bilbo's dead. And then you see him with half a head.
I also spotted the moment that I knew that the switch happened.
Yeah, I did too.
The switch with Martin Freeman,
I had that same reaction. Like, I knew almost immediately when he started talking differently, and yeah, I knew pretty much immediately that he had been switched. So yeah. I don't know if there was really any, if they were really trying to suspend that or not, but, yeah, that definitely, I saw that pretty quickly. It was nice to see Pierce Brosnan in the movie.
That floored me.
They have a tendency, at least the last two, and there was probably one in Shaun of the Dead that I'm just not thinking about, of going back and getting really good kind of classic British actors from that time period. They got Timothy Dalton for Hot Fuzz, and then they get,
it was so good.
Awesome. Just great.
Chewed the scenery like it was gum.
Love Timothy Dalton. They picked up Pierce Brosnan for this. He was perfect in that sort of Robin Williams and Dead Poets Society way, which was another throwback to those sort of 80s 16 Candles-y type movies.
Right.
Which I loved. I really greatly enjoyed the movie. So if you haven't seen it,
I'm kind of waiting on. In Hot Fuzz, you had two kind of hidden cameos. One was from Cate Blanchett, who was Simon Pegg's girlfriend back in London. She was the crime scene investigator who was completely wrapped head to toe in the suit, and the only thing you saw were her eyes.
Uh-huh.
That was Cate Blanchett. When you find out it's Cate Blanchett, you have a moment where you go, holy, she wanted to be in the movie badly.
Mm-hmm.
And they put her in the film, and that was how they put her in the film. The other one was Kevin Smith. He was the Santa Claus at the beginning who stabbed him in the hand.
Mm-hmm.
But you barely, you know, recognize them at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of waiting to see if they manage to pull any of that off with people in, like, maybe one of the blues, the blanks that goes running by actually was someone famous.
Yeah,
you know,
maybe.
Famous, big name.
Maybe, because they worked Cate Blanchett into this movie proper. Like, she was in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
So good stuff. Good stuff all around.
Yeah. Also, I'm kind of interested in seeing a story set in post network outage.
Yeah.
Post post the world's end, quote unquote, when they're in this completely bombed out society.
And the reason that is this is something I really enjoyed about this movie, and say what you will when you compare it to any of the other movies, but it's the only one that doesn't have an obviously happy ending. Now, Hot Fuzz had an obviously happy ending.
Yeah.
As far as Shaun of the Dead, it wasn't necessarily 100% happy because they don't cure the zombie thing. He loses, you know, his mom and his but as far as zombie apocalypse movies go, pretty happy ending.
Society picks itself up and dusts itself off.
Right. Pretty happy ending. You really leave conflicted about the ending of this movie, which I did not go in expecting, but yes. I really liked. Basically, the ending of the... Well, you know the ending of the movie because we've told you, spoiler alert. So, the whole ending of the movie with the, we're here to help you, we're going to bring you into this great new society, and him saying, well, we're humans and we don't want your help, go fuck yourself.
Just fuck it.
And then finally, yeah, the great voice in the light was like, oh, fuck it.
Which was Bill Nighy, of course.
Oh, right. And then they just leave. And they destroy... They basically... It's the apocalypse.
Well, and, the digital apocalypse, essentially.
Well, the digital apocalypse leads to a dystopian sort of... It was the apocalypse as far as the death of society. It wasn't to the death of everything.
Yeah.
But it destroyed society. Another thing that surprised me is the friends don't end up together at the end. Like, they get together, you kind of expect it, because in the other movies, the buddy cops end up and they stay together. Sean and his friend are together at the end, despite his friend having been turned into a zombie. At the end of this one, they come together literally for one night, and then they immediately lose one another again.
But in a way that works with the theme of the movie, which is all about moving on from your past. And King's thing was that he could not get past that. Everything literally ended for him that first golden mile attempt. And trying to recapture that, you know, trying to hold on to that many, many years later, led to the end of the world.
Right.
And it took that for him to get it, grow up, and move on. To leave his friends behind, to make new friends, you know, even if they're blanks, and to walk into a Celtic bar completely filled with tatted up, you know, big guys, and order water.
Rain. We're at the top of the food chain, and you're drinking Raid.
that was a good line.
Yeah, that was a fantastic line. It's like a lion eating hummus. A fantastic movie. It's a good... It really shows the depth of what the crew is capable of doing. It really shows the depth of what Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright are able to do as writers and as a director, doing three very, very different movies. So, I mean, just a crazy, crazy good movie. You know what it makes me excited for?
What's that?
Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Because Edgar Wright is directing Ant-Man. Yeah. I didn't care, and freak out if you must, I did not care for Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I know, just shut up. Didn't care for Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Was kind of like, ugh. I liked Hot Fuzz, I like Shaun of the Dead, that's pretty much what he's done, those are good movies, but I did not care for Scott Pilgrim, and then he does it World's End, and I'm like, okay, back on board. Because he had done those smaller movies, you know, but with something like Ant-Man, where the budget is going to be ridiculous.
You know it's going to be ridiculous.
It's got to be ridiculous. For it to be Ant-Man, it's got to be ridiculous, because they're going to have to compose most of the fucking environments.
Yeah, and you remember the internet freakout about a week or two ago. I forget if we talked about it or not. Simon Pegg visited Marvel headquarters and was tweeting pictures of himself in front of iconic stuff like a Hulk statue. And he stood in front of a wall of Marvel heroes, and he was pointing at Ant-Man when he tweeted it. And that led the internet to freak out and think that he was teasing that he's going to play Ant-Man.
No, he's teasing that his friend is going to direct Ant-Man.
Which he said later. Right, which he said later.
You dumbasses.
But, you know.
So I'm totally pumped even more so for Ant-Man, which is good. 2015. It's going to be a good year.
Yep.
It's going to be a good year. So as much as I'd like to continue talking about The World's End, excellent movie, we do have to get to something that occasionally nerd news really takes over everything and people really have an opinion about it.
Until Miley Cyrus does something.
Oh, I was hoping you wouldn't mention Miley Cyrus.
You can't. It's like, you know.
I was going to call this a Miley Cyrus-free podcast. Now I cannot.
Russell. But then by calling it a Miley Cyrus-free podcast.
I was going to call it a Miley Cyrus-free podcast while I was promoting it away from the podcast. But now we're having a whole full-fledged conversation about Miley Cyrus, despite the fact that we've not really talked about what she's doing or what she did. So people 40 years from now, listening to this podcast, which I'm sure will be wildly popular in 40 years, will be like, well, what was the thing that Miley Cyrus did here? Was it when she got hopped up on heroin and crashed her car into an embankment and killed a bus full of nuns? Oh, no, it was before that.
Then they'll have to go look up the video. So, in essence, we are trolling those 40 year from now listeners, which I think is appropriate.
I think so. I think so. I believe we've discovered a very lame version of time travel just right then.
So, for those of you 40 years from now listening and having to look that up, who are now cursing your names,
yeah,
suck it.
It is 2013. It is August the 26th, 2013. Yeah, you probably want to search for August 25th because that's when it happened. But we're still not going to talk about it.
Now the two of them who couldn't find it are now cursing our names.
Yeah, because eventually all that stuff just gets shuffled away. Yes. So anyway, let's talk about Batfleck. Now, it came out. Oh Christ, when did it come out? Edgar Wright kind of looks like Rob Stark. Did you ever notice that? Except he has his head attached to his body. But he kind of looks like Rob Stark. As I look at his IMDb picture,
he looks like he could be a Stark.
He definitely could be. Anyway, officially back onto Batfleck now. Came out a couple days ago that Ben Affleck will be the Batman in the Superman versus Batman movie that was teased at when did we first hear about it? Comic-Con. That's
although,
right.
It's not Batman versus Superman. It's like Superman Batman.
No, right. It's Batman, is it Batman versus Superman or Superman versus Batman. I forget which one, but it's Superhero 1, DC Superhero 1 versus DC Superhero 2.
Yep.
That's
and cue arguments over which one is number 1 and which one is
Superman should come first because it's technically a Superman movie.
That's true.
In my opinion. So the internet hates the fact that Ben Affleck is going to be Batman. Now, Russell, we haven't really talked about this.
Not really.
I posted something on Facebook. I don't remember if you reacted to it.
Yeah, and I posted something
that mutual friends of ours reacted to it, and we had a lovely conversation. And I genuinely mean that. It was a nice conversation. As far as Facebook's concerned, it was
kittens and rainbows as compared to what most of what pleasant, Facebook is.
Especially for me, because I'm a little bit of an asshole. But people not real big fans of Ben Affleck playing Batman. My question has been from the beginning of this, why? Why not? What's wrong with Ben Affleck?
I can sum that up in one word. Daredevil.
See, okay, yes. He was in Daredevil. Daredevil was a piece of shit. I saw Daredevil on opening night. It opened on Valentine's Day, so I took a lucky lady to see Daredevil.
Yeah.
I saw it when it opened on Valentine's Day in the theaters. It was not a great movie. Was not a terribly god-awful just-you-want-to-kill-yourself movie like Catwoman. But it was definitely not a good movie. It wasn't Green Lantern bad. It wasn't Jonah Hex bad. But as far as it being it was what it was.
Yes.
It was bad for a Marvel movie. We'll put that out there. Which is still worlds better than most DC movies. Because they just are. Sorry. They just are. I wish I could help you out, but I can't. So, not a great movie. Ben Affleck was he was in it. I won't say he was good in it because it was hard to be good in that movie. Now, none of this was Ben Affleck's fault. I would argue that if you go back and you watch, there's a supercut on the internet that I will post in the podcast. I'll have to track it down again. but it's Batman versus Daredevil as a trailer. It's old. It's from like 2 years ago. So the person that put it together didn't put it together knowing that Ben Affleck was going to be Batman. No clue.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting to watch now. But, and if you are a Nolan Batman fan, you are probably going to start Googling me looking for my address when I say this. So you can hunt me down and kill me or disagree with me loudly if you're British. It fits together pretty well. The way they cut it together, it kind of fits together. Like, you see it and you go, eh. Some of the lines, some of Affleck's lines are cheesy as shit. They are, because the writing was terrible in that movie. But it is what it is. It was not a good movie. Now, that being said, there are a lot of actors that do really shitty movies. Hell, Zardoz.
Oh, Zardoz.
I mean...
Yeah.
Everyone's favorite James Bond was in Zardoz.
Yeah.
Which is a horrible movie.
Yeah.
It's a terribly bad good movie. It's a terribly bad good movie. It's interesting to watch, but it's really hard to watch because it's really a bad movie. And no one says, oh, well, he can't be James Bond because he was in Zardoz. Or he's not my favorite James Bond because he was in Zardoz. Who cares? It was one movie. He probably got a ton of money for it.
Times like that makes me glad the internet wasn't necessarily around back then.
Yes, yes.
You maybe had those two or three people on Usenet who were, you know, Zardoz, this guy, I don't know. Yeah. But here's the thing with Ben Affleck. And I wrote up some stuff on Tumblr about this that kind of follows the same vein. But I don't think that the entire table-flipping nerd rage that has presented itself is solely to do with Ben Affleck himself, the actor, as Batman. I think it has partly to do with it, but I don't think it's entire. I think that it just becomes the focus point for a slowly building and bubbling, just general hand-throwing up emotion at DC in general, because of Superman, because of a couple of other things, because of perceived missteps in how to handle their stuff. Maybe even partly because, guys, Wonder Woman, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just a whole lot of little things that have been bubbling under the surface that have been just questionable decisions on DC's part or fan questions that have not been dealt with the way that they think that they should be dealt with. So it's kind of just created, kind of fomented a dissent.
Right.
And now you come out and say Ben Affleck is going to be Batman, and Ben Affleck is not going to be Batman.
No.
Ben Affleck is going to be the Batman in the movie that they said is going to be inspired by The Dark Knight Returns, mm-hmm. in which a 55-year-old Batman comes back and beats the crap out of Superman.
Right.
Beats him down. So basically they're saying that he's going to be coming back and playing a Batman that is going to be closer to, you know, Bruce Willis in Die Hard.
Well,
which is
let's talk about
the age thing.
Ben Affleck is not too old to be playing Batman. Ben Affleck is not that much older than any other Batman ever.
No,
he's not at all. When Michael Keaton played Batman, he was 38. Ben Affleck's 41. Christian Bale is older than Ben Affleck.
Yeah, and
he's not too old to play Batman. I don't know why people are saying he's too old to play Batman. Plus, he's fucking Ben Affleck. He doesn't look like he's 41. He looks better than me. And I'm 29.
And my flip side of it is I'm saying that he might be too young.
Oh, That depends. If you're casting
he's young and he's supposed to play a 55-year-old in the comics.
Well,
but
if you're casting it directly from the comic, which you don't
exactly, which they have not flat out said they're going to do,
which they won't do, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Based on you wouldn't do old Batman. People wouldn't go see old Batman because old Batman does not an action movie make. And if you saw Man of Steel, and Jeremy saw Man of Steel, there were a lot of things you could say about that movie. There were a lot of things you could say that movie was. There were a lot of things you could say that movie wasn't. One of the things it absolutely was an action movie. To its own fucking detriment. Here was my argument on... I think Ben Affleck will do a fine job as the Dark Knight. I kind of sounded like Kevin Smith there for a minute. And not just because I was talking about how cool Ben Affleck is.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck, he's a good actor. Look at him in The Town. Look at him in Argo. He's a good actor. He knows what he's doing. He's a good director, so he understands movies. he's a better director than the fucking director they've got for Batman vs Superman. And I will take this outside with you, Zack Snyder.
Yeah, that is also one of the things that I would
see. That's
would
the thing. I'm going to say that Ben Affleck is going to be a perfectly fine Batman. He's not going to be the best Batman. The best Batman, of course, everyone knows is Michael Keaton, and there is no way that you can disagree with that. Unless you're really older and you really like the camp and you go for Adam West, which I'm cool with, even though he was in a movie, quote unquote, but it wasn't really a movie. It was around with a giant bomb with a fuse on it. That's not a movie.
Yep. Yep.
That is my only caveat to the fact that Michael Keaton's the best Batman. He just was. None of the other Batmans met up to him. Way to go, Michael Keaton. You are a great Batman. You were also good as Beetlejuice. And see, now we're talking about the Miley Cyrus thing again.
Again!
See how that happened?
Still my favorite gift.
Okay. Michael Keaton, best Batman. He will not be better than Michael Keaton. I liked Val Kilmer as Batman. I've really not hated any of the Batmans. I don't think he's going to be the worst Batman. I think he'll do a fine job. Here's the thing that I want to add into this whole conversation. The movie is still gonna suck.
Yeah.
The problem with if you make a list in 3 years after this movie's come out and everyone's seen it, if you make a fucking list of the 10 things that are wrong with Batman vs. Superman, the fact that Ben Affleck is playing Batman will not be on that goddamn list.
Yeah.
The top of the list will be Zack Snyder directed it and does not understand what the fuck he's doing when it comes to these movies. He doesn't get it. If you watch Man of Steel, Man of Steel was a goddamn train wreck. It was terrible. Batman basically commits genocide in America at the end of the movie. And then magically learns how to snap someone's fucking neck. As if he could never do that before. The movie was fucking terrible. This movie is not going to be good. It's going to be bad. Not because Ben Affleck is... People are going to bitch about Ben Affleck being Batman, and then the movie's going to come out, and people are going to say, see, we were right, this movie is terrible. But no one's going to say, but actually, Ben Affleck was okay. He was at least 50%. He was at least okay. He was at least Batman. I'm not sitting there going, fucking Ben Affleck, I'm making a jerking off motion. He's at least going to be able to do the part. The movie is going to suck. This is true. However, it's not going to be because Ben Affleck is Batman. Ben Affleck's going to be a fine Batman. Look at him in The Town. He can move around. He's got stuff. He knows what he's doing. I think he'll be able to pull that conflicted vibe pretty well that you have to be when you do Batman. I think he'll be able to pull the cockiness you'll need as Batman, especially when he decides to go after Superman.
Yeah.
I think that'll work out really well. I think he'll be, I will say this, I think he will be one of the best Bruce Waynes that we've seen. He'll definitely be better than Christian Bale as Bruce Wayne. I never got Christian Bale as Bruce Wayne. Batman, meh, I can kind of see it. But he just didn't strike me as Bruce Wayne. He always struck me as Batman in disguise. Whereas
you look
at Michael Keaton was a really good Bruce Wayne and a really good Batman. Like, he really embodied that whole thing. And I kind of have developed a hard-on for Michael Keaton all of a sudden. I didn't. Nah. He's just good Batman. My favorite moment in the original Batman movie, just Batman, was Vicki Vale is in Wayne Manor, and she kind of sneaks off from this shindig that Wayne's throwing. And she's in his big armor room. And she goes up to the big case, and it's got this big thing of armor in it. And he comes up behind her, and he doesn't know who she is. And she says something, or he says, oh, that's Japanese from the late blah, blah, blah period. And she kind of turns around and looks at him and says, really, how do you know? And he kind of pauses and he says, because I was in Japan when I bought it. It's a great line. It's very Bruce Wayne-y, where he says it like, well, I mean, you should know. You should know who I am. Why am I having, you know, if somebody asked you what color your car is, and then how do you know that it's that color? Because I bought it. That's the color I requested. It's that sort of deal. He wasn't over the top with it. He wasn't, you know, kind of really cocky frat boy-esque, but he was just very, it's because I was in Japan when I bought it. Great, great, just quick line of the movie. I liked it. And the fact that it's a good movie, despite the crazy way that the Joker happens and there's makeup involved, and we know superhero movies and makeup don't mix. Catwoman, I mention you again for being just terrible. So, you know, it's I am thinking that Affleck is going to be fine. People tend to agree. Patton Oswalt has come out in support of Affleck as Batman. Also, someone at the Today Show, I'm sorry, Today, has gone on and found tweets in support of Affleck as Batman. You got Val Kilmer, you got Adam West, Joss Whedon also thinks Affleck will do well. In fact, he thinks he will crush it. So, and if somebody knows superhero movies, I submit that it is Joss Whedon.
Yeah, I think Entertainment Weekly called him like the god of geeks.
That's probably going a little far. That. I know plenty of people who don't like Joss Whedon. Plenty.
Oh yeah.
People that don't like.
And him. I think that there are entirely, you know, legitimate reasons.
Oh yeah, like yeah. The same with I just finished watching last week's episode of The Newsroom. I'm a huge Aaron Sorkin fan. I think there are legitimate reasons not to like Aaron Sorkin.
Absolutely.
I just don't care what they are. I know what they are. I know they exist.
I just don't care about them.
I walk and talk all day. Walk and talk all day, Aaron. I don't all care. I like them. I like a good walk and talk. Yeah, it's just that same sort of deal. But I really think Affleck is gonna be fine with Batman, especially as with Henry Cavill as Superman. Because Henry Cavill, you say, did he make a good Superman in Man of Steel? It's hard to say. He's very, I don't even remember him in the movie, despite being Superman. He just doesn't. And there's apparently a petition to fire Ben Affleck from playing Batman. They haven't even started filming the fucking movie yet. Calm down, Internet. Just calm the fuck down.
Well, it has reached the point now where Internet petitions like that, I think we can safely ignore them. Like, they are essentially lawsuits without merit. They show nothing except a portion of the Internet doesn't like something, which you ask anyone that at this point, you say, well, duh.
It's slacktivism, basically.
It is essentially slacktivism. It's like it is absolutely no different than a poll. It is essentially
a poll can be scientific and give you
a... No, poll. Like an Internet poll.
Oh,
like
yeah,
just a random on the Internet, click one button for yes or two button for no.
Like fucking the Ed Show polls. Have you ever watched the Ed Show? It's terrible. The Ed Show polls are always like, blah, blah, blah happened. Are Republicans duty heads? And then they give, go to our website and vote yes or no. And it's a very hard right-leaning show or a hard left-leaning show. And at the end, Ed always gives the results of the polls. And it's always 99% say that Republicans are duty heads. 1% say they're not entirely sure. They may just be poo-poo brains. You know, it's one of those sorts of deals where, every time I would catch the end of Ed Show, just randomly, it would just drive me to drink. It's like, fuck, why are we even doing this? But one way or the other. Yeah, it's not, they're not representative. It's just a thing that happens. And I for one, stand behind Ben Affleck as Batman. I probably wouldn't stand behind him in the line to see this fucking movie because it's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
But I think he'll be a good Batman.
He has the chops to play Batman. I think he can do a good job at it. I think it's going to depend entirely on the material that he's given and the direction he's given.
Good.
And I think that we both have a very solid idea about that.
Go watch Man of Steel. Go watch Man of Steel. If you think Man of Steel is a good movie... I don't even know what to say to you.
Let's flip this on this head. Let's open the door and let's say, okay, cast whomever the fuck you want. Absolutely anyone. Uh-huh. Put it out there. Put anyone.
You know who they'd cast?
In that role. Put Helen Mirren in that role. I think Helen Mirren would be an awesome Batman because day one, she would rip Zack Snyder's scrotum off.
That's true.
And say, you see this? This is now my change purse. If you'd like it back, you're going to have to learn how to direct an actual film.
Right.
I think that would happen, and that's why it would then be a good movie. But I don't think it's going to happen.
This is a very good representation of people hating change. Regardless who it was that was going to play Batman, the fact that it's not going to be Christian Bale and all of the...
Or your one individual... You know, there's probably a person out there who thought Ben Affleck was the perfect choice.
Uh-huh.
They were shouted down. The same thing was going to happen no matter who they picked.
Right, except for Christian Bale. Except you'd have people like us saying Christian Bale was not good in the original movies. Well, like me, I didn't care for the Nolan Batman trilogy.
Yeah.
Sue me. I hate everything that other people like. I'm just a contrarian, I guess. I'm like Ahmed White. Except I'm not Ahmed White. That would be really bad. You should go read his review of... I've got Jonah Hex stuck in my head for some reason. And he loved Jonah Hex, which is so Ahmed White.
Yeah.
So you should go read that. It's very funny. Ahmed White is a film critic who's very well known for hating everything everybody else loves. Like, if you ever go on Rotten Tomatoes, you see a movie that's 99% fresh. That 1% is Ahmed White. Like, he hated Toy Story 3, but loved Jonah Hex. At the same time, because they came out relatively about the same time.
Toy Story 3 almost made me cry. Like, I'm sitting here, I'm looking at this going, are they about to destroy an entire generation of children's faith in things? Are they going to teach them all it's all about recycling as the toys are ground down and in some Buddhist something or other reincarnated into new toys, and that's supposed to be some kind of lesson, and then everyone goes, what the hell just
happened? You killed Buddy and Buzz and Woody, Buddy.
Exactly. I was like, is that going to happen?
You're unprepared. You started to tear up.
I was. Oh, it was so...
I actually haven't seen Toy Story 3.
Well, hopefully I didn't just ruin things for you, but I'm sure that I'd already mentioned in the past, so... Meh.
I'm not. If I haven't seen it... I'm like all of the people who listen to the podcast. If I haven't seen it by now...
Oh, you're not going to see it.
Yeah. I may one day, but... maybe. I just saw Mulan for the first time, like, 2 months ago.
Speaking of left field.
Yeah. Well, it was a movie that I had heard a lot about and had never seen, and someone said, you should watch Mulan. It's a really good Disney movie. And I said, well, I don't really like Disney movies. And it goes, well, it's like a Disney movie from your childhood that you've never seen, because I'd never seen it. And I was one of the... Though I was always really interested in Disney movies. As a child, I liked Disney movies, but we didn't go to the theater to watch them, because I didn't go to the theater. I'm making up for lost time on that, actually, when I went to see... The World's End this weekend, I actually saw another movie, Elysium, with Ben Affleck, Ben Affleck's buddy, Matt Damon. Yeah.
Whom everyone is now asking, is he going to be the Joker? It's like, no.
Why, he could be. I'm kidding. He couldn't be. Calm down, Internet. I feel you outside listening to the podcast with your torches going, what did he say? Did he say Matt Damon would be a good Joker and the Nolan Batman movies weren't good and he didn't like Scott Pilgrim? Light it up! Kill! Yeah. I have a feeling that's probably going to happen. But at least my friends will have a good story to tell when I'm dead.
We enjoyed watching the flames flickering off in the distance from our, you know, safe bunker on the other side of the mountain.
Yeah, our nerd bunker.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we need a nerd bunker.
Nerd bunker is a go.
You get an old bomb shelter.
Yeah.
And put D&D stuff in it.
Yeah.
That's what you do. That just became our new apocalypse plan.
Ton of low-power 8-bit video game systems.
Play freaking D&D until we die.
Yep.
See if we can get to level 20 in one session. Hey, you're only as strong as your weakest link.
Yep.
With that, I think we're probably out of time since we've gone completely off the rails. If you have anything to say about what we've talked about today, which I have a feeling you probably do if you're a human being that has opinions, shoot us an email to girpodcast@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter, which is the best place to do this sort of shenaniganry. We are at girpodcast. As always, our music is Op Prop featuring Esset. Check them out on uhort.no. Thank you for listening.
I'm Batman. Not really. Ben Affleck's actually Batman.